This episode is brought to you by Delta Airlines. I'm getting ready to travel actually in a few days, going to Atlanta for a speaking engagement. And of course, when I booked my flight, I booked it on Delta Airlines. I am a complete homebody. So when I travel, I want my flying experience to be as comfortable as I am at home. And I love that Delta provide that. They have these curated travel experiences just for you. I love even their sustainable alternatives that they have for their in-flight dining, like plant-based dishes, especially as a plant-based eater. They have bamboo cutlery, organic, gluten-free, and nutrient-packed snacks. Literally everything that I need to be my best self in the air. They also have more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment and premium food options and beverages like herbal teas, cold brew, sparkling wine, and more. So just like when I'm at home, I get something good to eat and watch something on TV, I can do the same exact thing in the air. Delta Airlines believes that you should feel at home, even if you're 30,000 feet above it. Learn more at delta.com. This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Ladies, you know, it's time of the month, a specific time that comes every single month for us where things get a little tricky. The cravings get serious, specifically for stuff we don't need, like ice cream and chocolate and all of those feel-good things. You may get irritable like me. I'll be ready to bite everybody's head off. Or you may be in a phase of life where you are going through perimenopause or going through menopause and you're dealing with all of the symptoms that come from that. I want to tell you about Happy Mammoth, which is the company that created Hormone Harmony. They are dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BLESSED at checkout. That's happy, MAMMOTH.com, and just use code BLESSED at checkout.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, happy December. I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful December so far. It's the last month of the year. I told you guys before that December is going to be an off month for the podcast where I will be posting replays of some of my favorite episodes over the years, and we're going to come back strong at the top of 2023. So this episode is a throwback to episode 211, which is one of my favorites, on how to operate in your authority consistently. Let's start the show. You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. All right, So for this week's episode, I'm going to talk about how to operate in your authority consistently. Now, this is something that honestly can be a series. I might come back with a part two later. God gives me the episode, so I don't know what next week's episode is going to be about. I may elaborate on this, I may not, but I do want to preface the show by just saying that there are many ways that you can operate in your authority consistently. I'm going to go over three, but I really, really want you guys to take the things that we talk about on this podcast and go back and apply them. Right? This podcast, I don't want this to be a place where I'm just pumping you up and giving you motivation. I want you to go back, take what you learned here and go back to the Father. The best feedback and things that I hear from talking to listeners is that, Tatum, I had a business meeting with God because of you and this is what happened. Or I set the atmosphere because of that episode and this is what happened. Or now because I've seen the things that you've talked about, I've started to surrender my business to God and this is what happened. Like, this is what it is all about. Taking whatever it is he uses me to say on this platform and going back to him for yourself. There are enough people in here building altars and brands and communities that glorify them. It's enough of that out here. And I want to always make sure that I redirect you guys back to the Father, because I don't know everything. I do not know everything, but I come on here and I do my best to communicate the messages that he gives me. And again, I cannot emphasize enough the importance to take the revelations that you get, take the insight that you get right back to him. So last week's episode, we talked about being uncompromising. And in one of those points, I talked about being uncompromising about your authority. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, shout out to Kristen. And we were talking and she was just talking about some of the things that she was going through and believing God for and the season that she was in. And I was like, you know, I really think that this is a time that you have to step into the authority that you have. And I was telling her how when I first started surrendering to God, or when I first got saved, as I say all the time on the show, I was in for a few years after that, it was all about surrendering. It was all about restructuring the way that I did things so that I made sure that I was in alignment with God. And so once I got used to that, if that makes sense, or that became more second nature, so like making God the CEO is just natural at this point because it's what I've been doing for years, and just really seeking him on everything. Like, now it's a flow and it's a habit and it's something I'm used to. It's second nature. So once I got used to and consistent with surrendering, I came to another crossroads because I didn't know where I fit in the midst of that surrender. And so this is where operating in your authority came in. It was an internal battle that I dealt with when it came to walking in my authority, because I didn't know where my authority fit in living a submitted lifestyle, right? So it's like, God, well, if I'm surrendering to you and if I'm following you, where do I fit in that? Like, how can I have authority when I'm not supposed to be operating in my flesh? So in going back to scripture, because the scripture does talk about how he's given us the authority. And I think I gave the scripture, a scripture last week, talking about how he gave us the authority to trample on serpents, about how we can lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. Like, the different levels of authority that he's giving us here on earth. I'm seeing these things in the word, but like I said, it was this conflict, this internal conflict where I was like, well, how does that apply to a surrendered life? And what I realized was that, and what God showed me was, I have authority. I need to exercise my authority, but I need not ever forget what the source of that authority is and who the provider of that authority is. And so it made me realize even more, though, how easy it is to get out of alignment, because we may get to a place where we're used to declaring things and they're established, right? We're used to binding things on earth and so that they're bound in heaven, and loosing things on earth and they're loose in heaven. Like, we're used to
exercising that authority in the earth realm, laying hands on ourselves and seeing results. Like, we're used to praying and the prayers being powerful and effective, like the word says. Operating in that authority is what we're supposed to do, but we need not forget, like I said, who the provider of that authority is, because the second that we do is where pride comes in, is where ego comes in, is where you start thinking that you're the one that got yourself there. And then that's where you start slipping over to building a life and a business that's for you and not for God. And so in today's episode, I want to first address that, because I know that may be a conflict for others. It was a conflict for me, but it's important that we walk in our authority and we exercise and operate in that authority consistently, because again, God is the one that's empowering that in us. God is the one that's authorizing that in us. And by us not operating in that authority, we're minimizing what he is able to do through us. And so in today's episode, I'm going to go over just three ways that you can operate in your authority consistently, because that's a thing that comes up with a lot of us. Like, I get these questions all the time about consistency. And so I want to give you some things that's going to help you operate in that authority consistently. So number one, and it's actually number three on my list, but I'm gonna bring it up to number one, is you have to have an offensive and not a defensive prayer life. I'm gonna say that again. You have to have an offensive and not a defensive prayer life. You should not only be praying when something happens. You should not only be praying when somebody is sick. You should not only be praying when you get demoted on the job. You need to have an offensive prayer life. You need to understand that there is a war going on, whether you are a willing participant or not. I'm reading a book right now called The Rules of Engagement by Cindy Trim. The link is in my Amazon store. And I love this book because she talks about how, as believers, a lot of times we underestimate how organized, how sophisticated, and how powerful the realm of the spirit is as far as darkness is concerned, as far as what the enemy has going on, how organized his army is. And so this book breaks down just the level, talks about the different levels of the demonic spirits, the demons, the principalities, just the different levels and rankings that they have in the dark world, the different tactics that the enemy uses to kill, steal, and destroy. Like, she breaks it all the way down. And I'm loving this book because it's opening my eyes to how important it is for me to be offensive about my life and not defensive. Like, we say the scripture all the time that the enemy walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can destroy. It talks about how the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So the enemy is constantly working, and he's not married to any method to make his plan happen. And so we can't be asleep on the job or come late to the fight, so to speak, to where we done already got knocked down four or five times before we actually put our armor on. No, we need to wake up every single day and put on the full armor of God. We need to wake up every single day and speak life into whatever our situations are. We need to wake up every single day and speak the word of God. So the first thing that you need to do to walk in that authority is, and to walk in it consistently, is have an offensive and not a defensive prayer life. Because remember, the war is happening whether you participate or not. And I mentioned this last week that when you come, the battlefield is really in your mind. And when you come into agreement or accept thoughts and feelings and emotions that are contrary to what God said, you're now creating strongholds that the enemy can hide behind. And so I talked about that last week, so I won't go too deep into it again, but I just want to reemphasize that point so that you understand that the war is going on. When you wake up and you feel like, or you, when you say things out your mouth like, oh, 2021 looking real 2020-ish, no, you're speaking death into this year. You're speaking into what the enemy is doing and not what God is doing. So a part of being offensive about our prayer life is being quiet if we're not saying the things that God is saying. It's just shutting up completely so that we are not using our tongue, our mouths, one of the most powerful things that God has given us, opposite of the way that we're supposed to be using it. And I love this book again. It has this warfare prayer in it. And I did it with the society a few weeks ago. I'm actually going to just pull the recording and clip out the part where I read through the prayer. And I'm going to post it here on the podcast feed, because it's so important to be offensive. It's so important to be strategic. The enemy is very, very strategic. And what this book has been showing me is just how deep it is. And I'm like, man, we're not taught this stuff in church. Like, I didn't learn these things. And I'm so grateful that God has provided people who have written these types of books, or people like you who God is calling to do certain things. These are the reasons why you have to put out those podcasts. You have to write that book. You have to start that business, because you're providing tools that believers are going to be able to have in their arsenal to be more effective. So because she wrote that book years ago, I could tell it's an older book. I don't even know what year it was written, but because she wrote that book, I now have another a tool in my arsenal that I'm going to use for the things that God is calling me to do. But again, going back to that main point, number one, have an offensive and not a defensive prayer life. Point number two, how to operate in your authority consistently, safeguard your surrender. A huge mistake I believe a lot of us make is we think surrendering is a one-time thing. And my friend and I were talking about this the other day. Like, you have to surrender over and over and over. We live in a flesh that wants to operate, whose desire is to operate against the way God is calling us to operate. We are constantly at a war with our flesh to make sure that we're moving in alignment with God. And so you cannot go about this journey in a passive manner. Right? So when it comes to safeguarding your surrender, the first thing you have to do is understand that you're going to have to surrender consistently. I surrender every day. I surrender my business every day, my life every day, my body every day. When I have an idea, I surrender it. When a business opportunity comes up, I surrender it. When issues come up, I surrender. I probably surrender a million times in one day, because if not, I'm going to walk into that dangerous line of now doing things in my own strength. And for me personally, that's just not a place that I want to live. When I told God that I will follow him, I meant it. When I got saved, I said, God, if you light a fire on the inside of me for you, I will not go astray. I meant that. But a part of maintaining that promise that I gave to him is to make sure that I'm constantly in a surrender state. And then after that, making sure that I'm safeguarding those decisions. And so you have to get to a place where you have made a concrete decision to live a life submitted to the will of God, and then you safeguard it. When you safeguard something, you protect it from harm or damage. I don't want my covenant that I made with God that I was going to live for him to be harmed or damaged. And a way that you do that is that you remove things that feed your fleshly desire. So to get practical real quick, because y'all know I love to be practical. When I first became an entrepreneur, it was very, very hard for me to stay surrendered in my business, because I couldn't understand that how when I started to do things God's way, it seems like all hell broke loose. It seemed like I wasn't making money the way that I thought I would. When I'm surrendering to him, thinking he's going to give me the big idea that's going to make me this super success, he tells me to shut everything down, and now I'm stuck with nothing. I couldn't understand how people who were not living for God, not even checking for him, were doing better. Like, I could not understand how these people were seeing success after success, hit after hit, a successful launch after. I could not understand it, win after win. And it seems like all I was doing was taking L's the moment I decided to truly live for God. I was frustrated. It pissed me off, if I'm being frank, and I did not like it. But I had to confront those emotions and say, well, Tatum, what are you going to do? Are you going to renege on that covenant? Are you going to renege on that decision? And I had to pull myself up. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to pull yourself up real quick and be like, sis, what you going to do? What are you going to do? And that's a question that I asked myself. And I said, you know what? I decided to surrender to God, and I'm going to stay here. And so in order to safeguard it, I had to unfollow people who triggered certain things in me. Because sometimes you might be following, you may be following certain people, maybe even me, because you want it to be inspiring to you, but it actually ends up triggering you. And so you have to pay attention to how you react to certain things. So if something is triggering you, cut it off. The enemy will use those things that are meant to inspire to trigger you. So even if it's me, y'all, unfollow me. I care way more about you staying surrendered and you staying on track for what God is calling you to do than I care about listeners, followers, or anything like that. It's not about these things. It's about salvation. It's about building up the kingdom of God. It's about his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So safeguard those things by unfollowing people, places, and things that are triggering you and that are feeding your flesh. If you're on a celibacy journey, stop watching the shows that has the vivid sex scenes that's just putting that back into your mind. Unfollow that soul tie that you prayed so hard to cut off. But you seeing him, he doing this, he doing that, and now it's attractive to you and it's putting you back in a state of mind that you don't need to be in. Safeguard that surrender by cutting those things off. Another way that I safeguard my surrender is I don't want my voice to be influenced by anything or anybody but the Holy Spirit. So I try to stay away from anybody else that's like talking faith and business. I try to stay away from a lot of like preachers and things like that. I mean, I'm really not even into that anyway, but I try to stay away from even people who are talking about podcasting. Like, I just stay away from things because I need to be tapped into God and I don't want to be influenced by anything besides the Holy Spirit and what he's calling me to do. Something may make business sense, but may not be his will for me at that time. And I need to have a pure ear and a pure eye to be able to discern certain things. So that's something that I do that you guys can do as well. Also, separate yourself from people, places, and things, be it in person or digitally, that distort biblical principles. Let me say that one more time. Separate yourself from people, places, and things, be it in person or digitally, that distort biblical principles. When you're living a life that's surrendered to God, you're always going to have a little bit of frustration. I'm not going to say always, but there's going to be a lot of times where you'll have some frustration, right? Where God is calling you to do things where you don't want to do them. You're maybe not seeing the immediate result from it. You may be frustrated for whatever reason. And that's when the enemy can seep in through your frustration and bring about compromise, right? Bring about distortion, bring about false doctrine. And the thing about the enemy is he knows the word of God as well. And so a lot of people get confused, especially in entrepreneurship, with a lot of these new age practices and occult and just blatant witchcraft, because they look like they're God-like or they are scripture adjacent, but that's not the word of God, and God is nowhere near it. We even think about when the enemy tempted Jesus in Matthew 4, and I'm going to read it 1 through 11. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scripture says people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture said, now this is the enemy quoting scripture. For the scripture says, he will order his angels to protect you and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. There are a lot of things going on in entrepreneurship that try to distort the word of God. And if you're ignorant, because ignorance is a way that the enemy seeps in and destroys believers, is because we don't take the time to truly read and to understand the word. So one thing I'm gonna always tell y'all to do is open up your Bibles, because the enemy knows scripture as well. And you have to, if you're going to be safeguarding your surrender, you have to understand the word of God and know how to apply it. We study to pass tests, right? Jesus passed this test. We study to pass tests. So make sure, again, if you're safeguarding this surrender, that you know the word of God, because without it, you are going to be extremely vulnerable, and you do not have authority without the word of God, period. And then also going into safeguarding your surrender, you also do it by having tunnel vision. And when I say tunnel vision, I'm not talking about being focused on your goals, being focused on your goals list or your vision board or whatever. I'm saying having tunnel vision about God and his plan for your life, to where you're tapped into him, where you're just seeing him, where you're looking at him and saying, okay, God, tell me what to do next. He says, turn right, you turn right. Okay, God, now what am I doing next? Turn left, you turn left. God, what am I doing next? Jump three times, you jump three times. Whatever it is that he's telling you to do, focus on him. You safeguard your surrender. You operate in your authority consistently by staying focused on him. And let me tell y'all something. I keep it real cute. I keep it very cute, actually, because if I was to be operating in my flesh, I would have said a bunch of stuff a long time ago. I've had, so like, as God has began to elevate me so much, like, I've had people just steal things from me and blatantly act as if it's their revelation. I've had people try to sabotage me. I've had people who worked with me in some capacity and then try to go out and then duplicate what it is that I do. I've had people try to get close to me, but their hearts aren't pure. They're trying to break things up. I've had people try to get close to me and my marriage. I've had so many things and foolishness that has tried to pull me out of what God has me doing, or have tried to sabotage or tried to taint what God has me doing in some type of way. And I do not talk about it because it's a distraction. It's simply a distraction. But if I was to be clapping back, if I was to be trying to prove myself, if I was to be trying to do all of these things, I'm losing focus. I'm then not operating in my authority. I'm operating in my flesh. The Bible says that he will prepare a feast for me in front of my enemy. So what do I need to comment on things for? What do I need to say anything for? He said that he will make my name great. So I don't have to go about trying to boast who I am. He will make my name great. And I don't need to do anything to help him do it. All I need to do is stay tunnel vision and focused on him. But our emotions are hurt from betrayals. Our egos being bruised, or our feelings being hurt by something somebody may have done. These things take us off of, or these things bring us out of being surrendered and get us into operating in our flesh. But we have to have tunnel vision. We have to have tunnel vision. When I told my family that I was going to quit my job, this year will make, what, 4 years? Yeah, 4 years, because I quit my job the same year we started the podcast. So when I quit my 9-to-5, everybody was saying, why you want to do that? I was maybe 23, 24 at the time. You too young to be doing that. You about to do this full time. My boss at my job told me straight up, like, you too young to be out here trying to be a full-time entrepreneur. My family, people, even people who are believers, like, you sure you want to do that? Did God tell you that's what you should be doing? I don't know, Tatum. I think you need to do this first. I think you need to do that. But I had to have tunnel vision on God. And guess what? 4 years later, I'm the lender and not the borrower. People are now, the same people are coming to me for help for things that they're doing, for money to invest in the things that they're doing. But what if I would have listened to them? What would that mean for y'all that's listening to this show? What would that mean for the people that are called? Like, what would that mean for those that are attached to this? Yes.
This episode is brought to you by NPR. We know that Black stories and Black representation in the media is so important. When I was growing up, I wanted to see people on the screen who looked like me. I wanted to hear people on the radio who sounded like me. One of my fondest memories of my childhood was growing up and listening to our local radio station. And my favorite media personality, if you're from the DMV area, you know him, is Russ Parr. And I listened to the Russ Parr Morning Show every single day on the way to school. That was my first introduction to Black people in the media. And I just remember how I felt connected to the hosts, their guests, all the segments, how even my mother or anyone who was in a car with us just felt connected to the stories and had a great time engaging with the show. And it's something that's inspired me today, just really wanting to connect with my listeners through my platforms. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and as nuanced as the Black experience itself. I think one of the things that so many places get wrong about the Black experience is they make us to be a monolith. And we're not. We are so different and we have so many perspectives. There's so much diversity even within Black stories. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. So everywhere from Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. My favorite part of the series is the diversity of perspectives, because I believe that one of the most frustrating things about being Black in America is the way they try to group us all together as if we don't have different backgrounds, different thoughts, different opinions, different cultures within our culture. And I love that diversity. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuances, and as Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be told about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite. I've been in business long enough to truly know and understand that it's not just about how much your business makes, but it's about how much your business keeps. Here's some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency, y'all know we love efficiency over here, by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but everything is expensive, from personal stuff to business. It is so important that we find ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time. Again, it's not just about how much we make, but how much are we keeping? Now, through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/blessed. netsuite.com/blessed. netsuite.com/blessed.
And so this is a long point, but I cannot emphasize enough the importance of safeguarding your surrender. And then the last thing that I want you guys to think about when it comes to operating in your authority consistently is I need you to know and identify the symptoms of being out of alignment, so that whenever you are out of position, that you quickly go back. Something that really struck me last year when I was reading Moses' story is that he never saw the promised land because of one mistake that he made, and he took credit for something that was God's in a split second because of his frustration. That was so mind-blowing to me. Like, that doesn't take away from all that he accomplished, though. Like, Moses is, of course, like, if you know, you know, right? But that was so mind-blowing to me because it was such a split emotions-driven decision. He was so frustrated with the people at that time that he took credit for what God did. And because of that decision, he didn't get to see the promised land. And that really stuck with me and why I talk about the importance of being in alignment and safeguarding your surrender, because frustration will cause you to make mistakes that will blow it for you. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to blow it. I really don't. I do. That's my prayer every day. I say, God, I do not want to blow it. I can't mess this up. Anybody who I trust to pour into me, because I have wise counsel. I have people that I trust with the vulnerabilities of things that I go through and what God is calling me to. I do not feel that I can come on here and open my mouth every week without having wisdom or people pouring back into me and people building me up. And so one of the things that I always say whenever I'm facing like a difficult decision and I'm praying or I'm talking to those that I trust in my life, I'm like, man, I cannot mess this up. And that is really heavy on my mind at all times because of Moses, because it was just frustration in that moment out of all the things that he did right. And that doesn't discredit any of those things either. But with all of the amazing things that he accomplished, this one thing, and that he went on to accomplish even after that decision, he didn't get to see the promised land. I want to see mine, straight up. I want to see my promised land. So for me, it's one of the ways that I make sure that I'm constantly operating in my authority and that I'm also safeguarding my surrender is that I'm identifying the symptoms of being out of alignment. And so for me, I told you guys on the show before, it's overwhelmed. Whenever I feel overwhelmed, I gotta take a step back. Even right now, if I'm being honest, I made a stupid mistake of not taking a break before the new year. For the last couple of years, I've taken all of December off. This past year, I didn't because we just have a lot going on with Anchor Media and the business is just growing quick. It's growing fast. And I did not take a break. And so I know me, I'm a very sharp and I'm a very focused person. I zone in and I can get things done really fast, really well. And so I'm finding myself just not being able to focus the same, feeling a bit overwhelmed, just getting, not being able to sleep that well, being just fatigued. And those are signs and symptoms to me that I need to take a step back. Those mean that I am operating in my own strength, that I'm out of alignment, and that I need rest. And so even one of my priorities for this week is to get things in order so that I can take a break. So I might take a week off. I don't know what that's going to look like yet, but I have to take a step back so that I can make sure that I'm allowing God to pour back into me. So for you guys, understand what the symptoms are for you to be out of alignment so that when they come up, then you know what to do. And so for me, my go-to whenever these symptoms come up is, okay, I take a step back, I take a break, I rest, I fast, and I get in my word, and that's it. I'm not pouring out to nobody. I'm not doing nothing for nobody. It's just me and my Father. And these are the things that you have to identify now before you get to the next level you're trying to get at, because the more you grow, the more is at stake. And I want you to understand that, because we idolize the next level so much. We idolize our view and perception of success so much that we miss the lessons and the tools that we need to get and the strength that we need in the season that we're in right now. And so these are one of those things that you have to identify right now, because the more you grow, the more is at stake. When like Anchor Media is launching something this year with some shows that I've worked on, and one thing that's been top of mind for me is that I've just been thinking as I reflect is like, man, I'm so grateful for the lessons that I've learned in previous seasons, because I can't afford to make the mistakes now that I made before. It's way too much at stake, because now it's not just me. It's the shows that it's the people that are attached to me as far as this platform goes. It's my team. It's my son. It's the shows that I work with. It's the listeners of those shows. Like, it just, it's a domino effect. Like, I cannot make the same mistakes here that I made before. I have to operate in my authority at all times because I have to make sure that I'm showing up the best, my best. And the way that I am operating in my best is operating in my full authority with God facilitating or powering that. Even with my book, I told you guys, many of you guys know I'm writing my second book. Like, I'm entering into a new mountain, right? So I primarily operate in a mountain of media through my podcast and Anchor Media and all of that. But I'm moving into a new mountain with this book. This book is about total life. And so I'm infiltrating now this mountain of family. That's the foundation. That's a foundation. Like, I it's a lot at stake with that. And so I have to use the things that I've learned in previous seasons to make, because I cannot make the mistakes that I made then. So even for you guys, like, what the season that you're in right now is so important that you operate in your authority consistently, that you safeguard your surrender, that you identify the symptoms of being out of alignment, and that you have an offensive and not just a defensive prayer life.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.